started with that or my house. I'll say it again.
2013.
Anyway, I didn't want to look at it negatively because 13s are the number of rebellion in Scripture. And I thought, well, if we've ever seen that, we're seeing it now in politics. All kinds of rebellions going on. And that's not where I want our center to be. So I thought, well, I'll look at it in the light of what I really feel in spirit. And this is what I saw. It's the year 2000. Is the number of Bet, the Hebrew number, and it means house. I like that a lot better. The zero is to an infinite power. There's no end to the beautiful circle. And then one is Aleph, spirit or oneness, as we know. Three is the Gamil, which is the bridge. That's beautiful because it makes the bridge for us to walk over. One and three are four, and that's the Dalet, or the door. All of these point to a new beginnings. Terry and Morgan were watching the History Channel 2, and they watched a program where the Mayans had developed a blue dye that was so mysterious that the scientists could not believe that it wouldn't deteriorate through centuries. So they were trying to discover the source of their blue paint or dye. And come to find out, in their studies, they found some in Georgia, a main source, and I believe Arizona was another one, if I got my understanding right. So they're trying to find, to evaluate how it got there and how the Mayans got it to their place, because there was none developed where they were. Anyway.
Where does it come from?
Right now, they're saying Georgia and Arizona.
No, I mean, is it a rock? Is it a plant?
I don't know, but it won't go away, and it doesn't fade.
That's simple.
They couldn't get over the composition of it, the scientists. So, anyway, everything points to new beginnings for us. And it makes me think of us calling forth the wind of holy breath. Come and blow, wind. Blow upon our boneyard. To me, that's a big thing for this year. Since there's a skeleton crew here, that's what I was thinking of. We walk in that boneyard and loving the bone bit. Bone means divine substance. It means the strength. Without the bone, you couldn't build a body. You got to have the bone first. So going back to the boneyard is the thing to do. It means binding fast, powerful, numerous. It means the body of Christ. Ezekiel walked in the boneyard and he said, oh, the bones, they're really dry. They really need the spirit of righteousness. And that's what I feel. Jesus is our righteousness. He's our necessary bread. So Ezekiel, he says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, he asked him the question, can the bones live? And Ezekiel, he's noncommittal. He said, you know God if they can live or not. Let's look at that because we need to.
I'm sorry.
37th chapter of Ezekiel is the boneyard. In the third verse, he says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Lord, you know." He said, "Speak to the bone and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause ruach, breath, to enter into you, and you shall live." So what breath is he talking about for 2013? I think it's the breath of God, the breath of that man, Jesus Christ. A blast from the past that's going to be blowing and calling forth righteousness upon all lands on this earth in mankind. I'm not going to say it's going to be an easy year for mankind, because if we've got layers of any kind of facade, I'm talking about our little group and us, it's going to get blown away. Our little tabooisms that we've each got is going to get dealt with, because it's holy breath that we're calling forth. And the Lord said, "Okay, bones, speaking to the bone of the matter is the body of Christ, the divine substance that's in each of us." Some of you read Des's paper, and it was beautifully written, but I knew all that. That's really what we've always taught. I didn't know that other people didn't know that. Just kind of went, I thought, that is always the way I've understood it. Always. That it was Christ in me, the hope of glory. That we are male and female inside. I never thought that people were thinking it was all outside.
Even in the church realm?
When I was in the church realm, but it's been revealed to us many years ago when we were teaching that it had nothing to do with the natural. That we're all in one. That male and female. Of course. So when I read it, I kept looking for the light in it. So it discouraged me. Because I didn't get it. Because I already knew it. Other than, I do agree with him, there needs to be manifestation now. Yes, I do agree with him. So he says, "Speak to the bones." And it says, "Thus saith the Lord God to the bones, I will cause breath, holy breath, to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew upon you," which speaks of bringing a form. When we create something, we select something to help us bring a formation. Without formation, there can be no manifestation. So we have to have formation. Anyway, he says, "I prophesied as I commanded." And as we were seeing, blow wind, I was thinking we're commanding that wind to come. Blow wind of the Holy Spirit of God through us, upon us, on America. I've been saying America. I've been claiming our country. Blow on our country and all those righteous laws that were written, that we were built upon. I mean, it was written in blood. Please let them come to the fruition that was meant from the very beginning. Those men knew what they were talking about when they established those creeds. It wasn't any fat chance, all those diversified men coming together. Father was using them. We know this. And they laid their lives down for these things. So we must. We just must live according to the righteousness of it. Them dealing with the right to bear arms, folks. God put the Gadites guarded the perimeters of Israel. Of course you guard your perimeters. Yes, it's not meant to kill, but if they come in, you've got to do something. You know, people say if you trust God, you don't need a gun. Well, that's, to me, pure BS. It's like saying, just feed me. I don't have to work and buy food. I don't have to do nothing. This is ridiculous. It gives us a brain to use. So he says to me, prophesy to the wind. So he says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Of course, the four winds. We need the wind of... We really need the wind of emotion. And I'm going to stop here and share something with you, that an experience the Father allowed me to have last night. Johnny twiddled up some old tapes on the TV of Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And I kind of know Dean Martin's story because he was rebellious against TV rehearsals and things. He would not rehearse. Not. Because when he sang it, he wanted it fresh from the heart. And watching him sing, not one time do you hear him sound practiced. He sang with the emotion and became one with it inside of him. I was smitten watching him last night. No matter what the situation, how silly, he kept it one inside of him. Wow. What he accomplished. And I'm knowing he wasn't a very spiritual man, but he was able to do that, to be one with himself. So he sang and enjoyed it. And another thing, he didn't like people to call on him to sing. He said, I'll sing if I want to. When it's right, when it feels right for me, we need to get there. We need to get to that place. Anyway, we're speaking to the wind. It's what I feel. Back over in Genesis, I feel like if it's new beginnings, it's like in when Noah floated his boat and did all he did, and it was time for that to be over. The scripture says in Genesis 8:1, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a great wind. To me, that's the wind of the holiness of the Christ. He made a great wind to pass over the earth, and the waters went away. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he said, I'll lift a standard against it. Do you hear me? It's only going to go so far. It's only going to blow you away so much. And then I'm going to say, stop the music. I'm going to bring an end to that. And I think that's where we are. God is remembering the righteousness, the great wind of Holy Spirit, not man's spirit, but the holiness that it lives within humanity is being awakened more and more. Okay, go deal with this. I said we've been allowed to select. All of us choose things. All of us. When we choose, we have to live with it. That's our selection. But out of that selection needs to come some kind of formation. Not just gathering things in, but what are we forming with what we have selected? What are we building? It's got to be built, something built upon. What kind of form are we presenting? I don't want it to be just a bony maroney. I want it to be something that a person can look at. And this is the one thing that this did help me with was the word form that came out of everything I read that he was teaching. So we go back to Genesis 1 and 2. And the earth was without form. It means to lie waste, a desolation of surface. No form, a worthless thing, in vanity, in confusion. It was an empty place and a wilderness. And I believe Father might be looking at mankind that way anew. This drugs thing, and the unrighteousness period is so overall in so many things. So, says the Spirit of God brooded. When you see someone in trouble, like this morning we're praying for a lady that can't get a hold of taking blood. And it might be vital to her life sometime. I mean, we get our, like I said, our little taboos. I think God might be laughing at some of my taboos. So the Spirit of God hovers over that thing, over the faces of what is being manifest. I wonder what people think. God is so excluded in so many things. I mean, TV is just void of God. You can't find Him anywhere. People's got their own little niches and ideas and manifestation that are formless. It's just waste. Anyway, the Spirit of God broods, and there was not a man that could till the ground. Wait a minute. That was early. There was no man to till the ground. Somebody has to deal with this thing. This earth that we are. Somebody has to want that reaching inside and a formation to come that others can see. A form of God. The word till means to work with, to serve the ground. Adam, to cause, to enslave, to compel it. Speaking to the soul, saying, hey, line up, girl. Line up, you woman. Find her, love her, your own wife. I'm not talking about separate things and all, but your wife. There's a wife inside of me, and she serves me, or the flesh. Sometimes I let her serve other things. I get in trouble when I do. It means to prepare the bride. We look at Cain and Abel in the womb. the man, the beast, the god, the ego. Cain's ego became so big, he killed the man of the blood. That's all. But he did till the ground. And that's the important thing. Formed, the word formed is so much different from the word create. Create means you just make selections. You select. I'm going to have this, this, and this. But what are you going to do with the this, this, and this that you buy at the grocery store? Are you going to make something that would blow up the world? Are you going to make a dish that your husband will love? I mean, come on, let's form something out of what we select. The word form means to press through the idea of working with it. This very morning, Steve brought this chair for me to try to work with, to feel it out. It don't mean just grab it up and eat it. God Almighty, people, we should be so careful what we eat mentally. I take a lot of things in, but if I don't feel life that matches the life that I am, I don't eat it. It's not necessary bread for me. I take the information. But there's got to be revelation. That revelation will feed you personally. It will feed you personally. Can you understand how important it is that it feed you personally? That you feel it making you grow. It means to fashion exactly like God told Moses. Moses, the bitter serpents are eating up the people, Moses says to God, and God said, okay, Moses, you make you one, but you keep it lifted. And those that are able to look at that crucified serpent, the serpent on the pole, humanity on a pole, they live. That we're sent to live a life that crucifies the flesh. We're sent to walk through the fears, the dreads, the uns, so we know that we can do it, not just for us, but everything behind us. We just think about our ancestors. I mean, I couldn't even tell the stories yesterday. There were so many different lines that, you know, maybe a couple I could tell. My dad was a kid. His daddy was not a worker. So he's 12 years old, goes to the town of Orlando every morning, 3 and 4 o'clock. He walks. He didn't have a bicycle. And so newspapers. At some point, he was saving his money, putting it in the ticking of the mattress. He got up one morning. His mother was crying. She said, "We have no food." And Daddy said, "Oh, yes, we do." He said he went and threw back that ticking on the bed and gave his mother every penny of that money. That's just a little story. I wonder what's in all of our past. Little stories where provisions were made by people. You know, farmers, Johnny's people working so hard. And I know Speed. His daddy's worked all his life out there. Folks, beautiful stories. Just beautiful stories. Anyway, so formation has to do with the squeezing and the dealing with. It says to be a potter and make some determination about what you're making. What are we forming here? How do I really want this to look? More than anything, how do I want it to feel? When people come into our presence, do we want them to feel just pressure to be like us? Are we making it so they feel accepted and loved and can share their deepest secrets with us? You know, be able to tell us their heart. Are we going to be trusted that way, no matter how bad it is? I mean, we like to hear the good stuff, but somebody has to be a savior. It means to determine, to frame, to purpose. And I like that word. Okay. Let's look at Samuel, 1 Samuel. Remember, Israel had to have a king, and Saul was that king. We're going to call him King Ego, okay? That works for him. It came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together, 1 Samuel 28:1, for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle and thy men. I mean, he was getting the right guy on his side, because David was a man of war and he was going to win. But he was God's man for the hour at that time anyway. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore I will make thee the keeper of mine head forever. Because he didn't want to get killed. Now Samuel was dead. He'd been dead 2 years. And all of Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away all of those that had familiar spirits or wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together, and they came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw that the host of the Philistines was great, his heart was greatly afraid. And he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered him not. Why did the Lord not answer King Ego? He had always had a prophet between him and God, or somebody to tell him what to do. Folks, seek God on your own. Build your own relationship. Jeez, it's so perfect and wonderful. Then it's yours. Nobody can take it. It's your gold that's stored inside of you, because it's your relationship. Anyway, he didn't. Then said Saul to his servants, go seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit. A little clue here. A familiar spirit ain't nothing but a family spirit. Whatever the O'Neills, the Purnells, the Garlands, what's your name? Hensleys, the Lawlers. That's what that is. It's a family's always done it this way, and it's very important to you. It comes through a natural bloodline that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Zero. He didn't do that. We do that by honoring that thing. Okay. So he says, I want you to get somebody with a familiar spirit. He could find them all over the place today. went out to hunt. They're here. Well, behold, there's a witch at Endor. So Saul disguises himself, puts on a different raiment, and he went with two men, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. He is trying to hide who he was. But these people with familiar spirits, they have just enough discernment to destroy somebody. That's about how much they got. The woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul has done, how he's cut off the wizards that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then, do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware unto her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? He said, bring me up Samuel, Lord. And then the woman, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman says to Saul, why did you deceive me before thou art Saul? So she knew who he was. And the king says to her, don't be afraid, for what did you see? I've got to have a word. And the woman said unto Saul, I see gods ascending out of the earth. And he says unto her, what form is this taking? I thought, big thing here. What form is it taking when we go maybe go to a wrong source? Because that's what he's doing here. What form is he of? And she said, oh, he's an old man that cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped down with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, he's thinking he's going to get a reprieve here. But Samuel, just like when he's alive, he was like Nathan to David. David always said, don't call Nathan. Because he never tells me nothing good. Well, Samuel was like this with Saul. He always told him where the bear went in the woods. So Samuel said to Saul, why have you disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, oh, I'm sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God's departed from me, and answereth me neither by prophet nor by dream. Therefore I've called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Samuel says, wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become your own enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and is given it to your neighbor, even to David. Because you obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow thou and thy sons be with me. Wherever Samuel was dead. And the Lord shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway on walked on the earth and was so afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he'd eaten no bread all day and all night. And that's all we need to read of that. Okay. Genesis 2 and 23 says, I did that to read about form, because the first thing Saul said is, what form is he? Well, he didn't come out looking like Samuel looked when he was alive, but he did speak like Samuel spoke when he was alive. In Genesis 2 and 23, when Adam was making the womb man, and I believe the one thing Death said, he coupled Adam here with Christ. I can dig it. Yeah, with Christ. He said, Adam says, this is now bone of my bone. So where is the bone? Inside of Adam. The scripture says God took a rib from Adam's side and gave it to him to be his bride. He never meant for Adam to hold it outside himself, but keep that inside himself as his counterpart. This is now bone of my bone. Number one thing, is it the bone, the skeleton of the matter that we're dealing with? That's what we always need to look for. And flesh of my flesh means the form that it takes on. Is it spirit? And she shall be called woman because she's taken out of man. The one with the womb, they can have the child, of course, because just spirit alone, without a manifestation of some kind of body here or a form, what good was it? We don't know how long the earth was in that way, where it was just spiritual things going on and nobody to manifest it. So sometimes when I hear things, I'm thinking, okay, that's good. But where is the form this takes on? How does it formulate into the whole scheme of who and what we are, what Father is forming upon the earth? Because formation is manifestation. If it's just in spirit and does not take on a formation, it's not good. God wanted formation. That's why he made human beings to manifest himself. He wanted to see that take form in us. Yes.
Not only that, but what I just saw is, you know, our wife has always been inside.
Yes.
And now she's come forth outwardly to be visible.
Yes.
So she can, well, she is a curvy thing.
Yeah.
And so now she throws us curves. Mm-hmm. And it causes us to be changed. Causes us to see the way we are inside that we've never seen before.
Yes. And it's awakening the divine feminine within the male as well as the female.
Yeah.
That divine feminine must be looked at as one thing with the husband of herself.
That's
not
that,
two.
That joke.
What's the joke?
Guy gets pulled over by a cop. Cop says, didn't you see your wife fell out of the car back there? He's like, well, damn, I thought I'd went deaf.
You ain't right, Morgan.
But it goes along with what he's saying.
Yes, it does. So Adam says, this is now my skeleton part. Bone of my bone is the same as me. It's my bone. And flesh of my flesh, which is the formation. And she shall be called the one with the womb, because she's taken out of man. And like I said, until I read Desi's paper, I didn't know anybody still believed that old teaching. Well, maybe people in the church, but none of us. My goodness. If we do, where have we been? All I teach is the divine feminine. That's everything I teach is divine feminine. Within you. Not separated. There isn't a separate divine feminine. She lives within each person. Of course, the virgin. Okay. Therefore shall the man leave everything he knows, father, mother, and cleave to his own soul, his own wife. And they are one flesh. Very plain to me. Okay. It is Christ within you, the hope of glory. Christ in the woman standing by you, that is ridiculous. Not that way at all. Inside of you, the divine feminine inside of you, and masculine as one, cooperating as one, her hearing spirit, him being of the spirit, not king ego spirit, but the spirit of the living God. And it's always sacrificial, isn't it? It's easy to identify to me. You can smell it in a minute when it's ego. Right, I can smell mine. Smell yours too, but mine's worse, I think. Anyway, so it's Christ in us and building that personal relationship with that being that serves us. It's not just that we serve him because we're the ground tiller. Of course we are. We just don't kill Abel because he's got the blood. We know better than that. He killed righteous Abel because he says, I'm working the ground. But this guy, he gets all the glory. So we're not going back there. We know they were twins in the same womb. Yeah. You got the ego and you got God. It all works together for good. The sacrificial man and the man's willing to put his hand to the plow. You gotta have both. Like Speed said, you go through these challenges and we go through different things being raised. Sometimes hard things. Losing a mother. Losing a husband. Things that are valuable. But they grow to make us know how others feel, I guess. The things we go through. I will never forget when we went to the graveyard and I just felt compelled to kneel down in front of my great-grandfather's tomb. And when I put my hand on the tomb, I began to weep because I could feel the pain that had never been healed in the bloodline. Do you hear what I'm saying? God did that. I'm half smart enough anything to do that. And how do you make an emotional tie over hundreds of years like that? Only spirit can do such thing. You can't do that. The emotional connection is made by spirit.
If that's true. This existence, I mean, this paradigm, it, all life is built and feeds off of the death of things before it.
Yes.
I heard of, I'd never heard the book before, but I guess it's famous in scientific communities, said that people have to die to, for science to advance.
Isn't it the truth? I don't want to believe anything. The scripture says man is tempted when we're drawn away of our own egoic lust. So I really questioned myself then. I thought, well, what are my passions? And I don't mean sex. You can have passions for things that have nothing to do with sex. I guess the husband would hope it went that way. But all of us have different personal passions about things. You know, my husband's passionate about politics. He has a passion for that. I don't. It's okay. Anyway, we have our own fixations. We have our own taboos. But God's dealing by His holy breath with mankind, and we're a great part of that. Our prayers are powerful. It's powerful when we are praying certain things. Father, straighten the mess out in politics. I've been praying that for a few weeks. Just, I don't know how to tell you to do it, but just let your righteousness prevail. I'm doing exactly what Moses did. Moses stood in the gap. God said, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses said, okay, kill me. God couldn't kill Moses. Moses was righteous. He was part of God. So God said, I changed my mind. Absolutely, I changed my mind. Moses, we can change Father's mind, and we can institute things in a small way. I mean, they're never going to know who we are in Washington. God forbid, I wouldn't want it, but that spirit behind us, they're going to know who that is. That's going to happen. St. John. I know I've taught this, but it goes back to, I was going to tell us where we were, and this is where we are. I'll just stop and do it. Aquarius. The 2,000 years of Aquarius that I was sharing here. We're in, the sun is in Capricorn, believe it or not, which is the governmental order. Saturn governs everything to do with government on the earth. So that's where we're at. Saturn is ruling. Matter of fact, today Saturn conjuncts with Pluto, and that can be a good thing. In conjunction, that means there ain't going butting heads. So hopefully something will get worked out up there. And then our moon went into Leo this morning. Thank God. That Cancer moon blows me away. There was such a heaviness yesterday. So I looked at the moon. It was full in Cancer. Got you, God. Don't have to have no more questions. I hear what's going on. I know why it's heavy. Anyway, let's go to St. John. I always think of Nicodemus in our stories. Some people say he didn't exist. I believe that's a barefaced lie. I think Nicodemus did exist. Saying, Jesus, how do we be born again? I mean, after all, this man's got to be born of the law. Because he's a great teacher. And Jesus said, You don't enter the second time into your mother's womb. This is a spiritual thing. And then he goes on to say here, in the 13th verse, well, the 12th verse, I better read. He came to his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his character, which were born having nothing to do with any familiar bloodline, genetics, zero. It doesn't have nothing to do with the blood of the O'Neill in me. There's nothing. Nor of any will of the flesh. Okay, they're taking all kinds of sperm and seed and freezing it and determining this and determining that. But it ain't going to be spirit. It's just going to be a human being. It's not spirit. That's a man's determination. Or we're going to get married and have these many kids. But it's born of God. And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt inside of us. We're the living Word wrapped in flesh and bone, walking around. Because it's the Spirit of the living God that's formed in us. Formed and manifesting. And we're speaking it. So, we beheld the glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. It's beautiful to me. Beautiful to me. That's, well, I've got other scripture, but I think I need to read them. It's denouncing the necromancers and the wizards and the wizards and witches and familiars, and it's so negative. I don't like to get into that stuff. We deal with enough negative, so leave us with some positive hope of where we're going this year. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's what I feel. It's good. I don't think everything that touches us this year will be necessarily what we call good. But it'll be for a purpose, because the American people are paying a price right now. But may our Constitution stand. That's what I'm calling. May our Constitution stand. May not be able to break it. And we just keep calling forth the blasphemy past Jesus, the Christ. You can't say Jesus, call Christ forth. That'll be good. That's all I'm going to share today. I want to discuss any of it. How do you feel about the interpretation of 2013? I have not checked this out with any prophets